Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys do this to me every time. There's no way I can follow this. I was sitting there listening to the worship this morning. I thought, man, this congregation, you take that enthusiasm that you have for the Lord and you're singing, and you take it out to this community, and you're going to see amazing things happen for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Am I not on? Or I'm... Felt like I was on. It is a, boy, is it a blessing to be here today. You know, I'm going to say something. You're going to think I say this everywhere, but I don't. This is my favorite congregation to visit. And it's because of the worship, and it's because of watching you worship, and it's because of seeing your hearts in worship. And here is a place that you know the Lord is loved and appreciated and honored, and it's just a great place to be. And, you know, I forgot my jacket today, and I'm very happy I did. Because, number one, I don't like wearing them anyway, and two, it is warm in here. I was reading today that they said the humidity level is getting so high that we're going to have, they called it corn sweat. Has anybody ever heard of that before? Some of you have heard that? The corn gets so hot with the humidity that it sweats, and that raises the humidity, and so the Midwest is going to suffer this horrible heat this summer. And I thought, good grief, it's time to move to Alaska. No, I don't. I've never been to Alaska, but I am so excited to be here because we have two things to do, one of which, of course, is to thank and honor Willard and Brenda. Would you mind putting that slide up of the prayer? Because this slide just kind of, it says it all, and I'm going to explain why. No, the one where Tony was praying at the beginning. You see those hands? You know, we've got a young lady in our denomination. Her name is Michelle Fleming, and she's Charles Fleming's daughter. And she gave a talk a little while ago about palms up. And she talked about how whenever we pray and whenever we have our life, we should have our palms up. Because we're asking God, we're saying, whatever you place in these palms, I'm willing to accept. Which is what you sang today, right? And it's whatever we do, we're willing to accept. And I was thinking while Tony was praying and seeing that picture, I thought, you know, Willard has had his hands like that for 23 years in this congregation. Palms up, saying, Lord, where do you lead me? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And he's had good people surrounding him, helping make those decisions, hasn't he? You know, and Willard is, one of the greatest things in GCI is we now allow pastors to retire. And I know they've been very thankful for that. Now, there's some that we still want to retire. But sometimes there's just nobody replacing them. But Willard told me a couple years ago, I think it was, we started this discussion. And he was letting me know ahead of time. And we've been through a road together, a valley together, a journey together on this path. I think I was here a year ago with somebody else, and that didn't work out. But, you know, God knew what he was doing. What a surprise, eh? And it's just a blessing. So what I want to do today is I just kind of want to take a few minutes to honor Willard, and I'm going to share some things. You can take that slide down if you don't want it up there the rest of time. I want to share a couple things. We'll give you a little bit of his history. Willard was first hired part-time in September. Now, if some of these facts are wrong, Willard, I got them from Human Resources, so your problem is with them, not with me, okay? So Willard was first hired part-time in September 1970 as an ambassador college student in Pasadena, California, in the custodial department. He cleaned that up, and then he transferred to... Oh, sorry. He transferred to the direct marketing department. And then he was then hired full-time as a dispatcher in the communications department. And I, if I recall correctly, a dispatcher is somebody, when somebody calls in, you're the one that leads them to the direct phone and all that stuff. And is that correct? Telex is? Yeah, this is way before internet and email. This is when people actually had to call, right? You know, and you knew, he had to know which ones to send up to the third and fourth and even probably even the second floor, which ones not to. And And then in 1977, we had quite a few people. We had a cutback because of various things. That was the year I was in college, and we shut down Ambassador College because of our... No, I'm kidding. It did close that year, though, and a lot of people either got laid off or took voluntary layoffs, and Willard did. And he went into the real world and made real money. And then in in 84, he was ordained an elder. That's 32 years ago. And then in 1986 of June, we said, Willard, would you like to make less money and do a really tough job where nobody thanks you? And he said, sure, you must be talking about the ministry. And so he was hired in June 1986 as the assistant pastor in the Washington, D.C. and Front Royal congregations. And I don't think Front Royal is a congregation any longer, is it? I don't think so. And then in 1988, he was promoted to associate pastor. In 1991, he became the senior church pastor at Washington, D.C. and Front Royal. And then in 1993, he was relocated to Chicago, Illinois. Amen. Do you realize what month he was relocated to Chicago?
July.
Isn't that interesting? 23 full years of faithfully serving the congregation of GCI here in Chicago and serving you. And for that, we want to honor him. Willard has Willard is one of these guys that I don't know if you know this, and I'm not going to make jokes and all that other stuff. I just want to say Willard is one of these guys that in my job as a regional supervisor, he's one of the guys I don't worry about, right? He's one of the good ones. When I get his reports, they're always on time. His sermon summaries are always on track. In fact, I told him one time, I said, Willard, you're one of the few guys I know that uses the lectionary. And he said, I like it because it covers the whole Bible in 3 years, and it's a really good pattern. And I said, you don't have any idea how hard it is for me to get other pastors to do that. And Willard's been doing it for years. And because of that, you have been fed, and you have been fed well. So... he's with all of his full-time years added together, Willard has been employed full-time by Grace Community International and Worldwide Church of God, of course, at the time, and Ambassador College for 32 years and 10 months. That's a legacy. Thank you, my brother. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to have Willard and Brenda come forward. I have a little gift for you from our Pastor General. And his team. I don't know who his team is. I guess I'm part of his team, so this is from me. This is I won't tell you what it is, so you'd be surprised. But we hope you like it. But this is a gift from Pastor General DeCotch and the team in dedication for all of your years of service. And we're going to pray for you. I'm going to say a prayer of thanks, and then we're going to bring them down here. You guys come up here, and I'm going to ask Al Barr to come up, and he's going to pray a prayer for their continued ministry, because it's not going to stop, is it? Once you're called to the ministry of Jesus Christ, you just change hats. Right. You know, and you've done that a few times over the years. Yeah. So I'm going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving for them, thanking them for what they've done, and then we're going to bring them down here. And if you want to come up and lay hands on them and lay hands on somebody else who's laying hands on them, feel free. We know their retirement party is later, but this is the time to honor them in front of the church and to thank them for their service. So let me pray for you first. You know, Father, it's such an honor to be standing beside a man who has so faithfully served you. You know, 32 years is like an Abrahamic example of faith. And I know many in this congregation feel like Willard is kind of their father of the faithful. And I thank you for him. I thank you for he and Brendan, the work they have done together, the life they've shared with the congregation, the service, the many, 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 many hours, many nights without sleep, the thousands upon thousands of hours of sermon preparation, of counseling, of prayer, of worrying about your people and then realizing that they are your people, and so he can relax a little bit. But he still cares because his heart is full of compassion. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you on behalf of GCI, I thank you on behalf of the region here. I thank you, but on behalf of you, Jesus, we want to say to express your thanks so that all the people here realize how much you love this couple. And so I thank you for them, and I pray your blessing upon them. And thank you for their years of service here to Shepherd Community Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. And we'll see each other. So I'm going to have them step down here. If you guys want to come up, and don't worry about a time, because I'm in charge today. So come up and lay hands on them, love on them. Make a big crowd, make a big line, because your hand on somebody else's hand is still the hand. We'll give them a couple minutes to come up.
Let's squeeze in so we can lay hands on our brother here. We still got some more coming. Well, while this is going on, you know, I'm the only other retired pastor from this congregation, and it's an honor to be here on this here day. So, okay, let's go to the throne. Gracious God, we are just so pleased to be able to lay our hands on our pastor, a man of God, on a woman of God, who have served this congregation for 23 years. This congregation has fewer pastors than any other church that I know in our fellowship. Yeah. Willard was the fifth pastor. And now we're about to install the sixth pastor. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Lord, we stand in a building that was a vision of Willard and Brenda. We are blessed because of their tenacity and their willing to sacrifice to make this place possible. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you, thank you, thank you for this couple. They are devoted to you. They gave their lives to you, Lord. And now they're about to turn the page in their life. They're about to, that ugly word, retire.
Glorious word.
But a lot of people are afraid of retiring. I is one, as one would say, I have retired, and will it be not afraid, as they say.
Amen. Amen.
But Lord, be with Willard and Brenda. They got some wonderful things in mind. Open the door for them, Lord. Bless them even more so. We just want to lift our hearts and our prayers up to you, Lord. Be with them. We thank you for them. We thank you for them. It is because of you they were able to do what they did. Uh-huh. And now, Lord, we ask for that blessing, and we thank you for them. And we ask this in the wonderful, awesome, incredible name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's all say amen, amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir. I was interested in Al's words. We did used to think of retirement as a bad word, didn't we? Because, you know, if when you're called into ministry, you have to be the minister till you die. Well, Willard is still a minister. He's just facing a different chapter. And I meant it when I said it is a blessing for our denomination to be able to let pastors retire and follow what God is doing with them in a different way. And so we are thankful. So I'm going to do something. This is another exciting thing I get to do, and to do them both on the same day is quite nice. It's been a long time coming, as I said. Willard contacted me. I wanted to say it's almost 2 years ago, I think, we started this conversation, and asking God to provide a good pastor for Shepherd Community Church. Is it Shepherd or Shepherds? I thought so, because there's more than one of you. Otherwise, it was going to be a really lonely job. So I cannot tell you how excited I am for this day and for the opportunity to install Kenneth Barker as that pastor, and to actually meet Kenneth and Lisa face to face. We've only met once on FaceTime, or Skype, was it? Yeah, and Lisa kept hiding. I don't know what she was trying to hide from me then. You know, we're never going to forget what the highs have given to us, but boy, when God has a plan, he has an amazing plan, and God never looks back. In fact, what I marvel about God is he never looks back. He's not concerned about the future. Why? Because he's got it covered. So all he's concerned about is what you're going to do when? Right now, today. That's an amazing thing. So we cannot deny that this is a day of hope for the future. Is that true? Would you say amen to that? Amen. We praise God for the coming of this congregation with a new pastor, and it's a day of celebration. Amen. I'm reminded of God's words quoted by the prophet Isaiah. God said this. He said, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it?" Do you perceive it? Now, let's not take that scripture too literally and say we're supposed to forget Brenda and Willard. You know, I do not remember the former things. No, that's not what it's referring to. What it's referring to is that a new day is dawning, and God always builds on what is there. And we're thankful for what is there. So today, I think we can say amen to that scripture, that I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And we say amen. It's the kind of day it is. It's a day of hope. It's a day of encouragement. It's a day of positive things. Not that the past doesn't matter, because the past brought us to where we are today. We praise God for that. But we get to focus on the new. And you're going to hear me use the word change a lot. Because one thing in any Christian's life, we used to say the one thing constant in Grace Community International is change. But you know what? We do not have a hold on that. We do not have ownership to that. The one thing constant in any person who follows Christ is change. I pray God never leaves me the same today as I was yesterday. Amen. Right? And I get up and I now tell people that when I give a sermon, and even if I get into some theological discourse, I'll tell them that 85% of what I'm preaching is absolutely true. But here's the key. It's only because God hasn't taught me the other 15% yet. Right? Right? I mean, think about it. What I taught last year that I thought was absolutely true, I have been taught different things because God is good. And because the scripture says we always grow in grace and knowledge. God is good. And all the time. For that is his nature. It's his nature. So today we not only perceive a change, but we even get to embrace it. It's a kind of change that doesn't scare us, doesn't disturb us. Might take us out of our comfort zones a little bit. Might make us a little bit nervous, but it doesn't scare us because we know who's leading the change. And it's not Kenneth. Trust Lisa, you don't want to follow Kenneth. All right, I'm sorry, I'm putting words in your mouth. But I know my wife would say that about me, so I'm just assuming. Anyway, let's do some celebration. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to focus on the time that this is a new chapter in the ministry of Shepherd's Community Church, and it's a new call for Kenneth and Lisa, because they are God's beloved. And God wanted his beloved to lead his beloved. Amen. So this is a time of new relationships. God has not just brought you a new pastor, but a new friend, someone that you've actually known for a while, which to me is pretty cool. Someone who loves the Lord and someone who wants to share his love of the Lord with you. Someone who wants to walk alongside you in your journey. Someone who doesn't simply want to serve you, but who wants to help you serve as you walk in your own path with Jesus. As you share Jesus' ministry of loving others, of bringing others to the glorious truth of who he is, of ministering to the needy and the hopeless and introducing them to their Papa Father. So God has brought you a pastor who's going to help you participate with Jesus in reaching this community with good news. The New Testament reveals that Jesus lives his life in three planes. He lives his life, a life of worship. Would you not agree? Jesus was always worshiping. He lives a life of mission, right? I mean, what is his mission? That none should be lost, right? That all should come to glory. And he lives a life of service. He was the one who washed his disciples' feet. He was the one who oftentimes fed them. This is the life that he wants to live with you, and he wants you to live with him. And this is the life that we talk to our new pastors about, participating with Jesus, with his life of worship, his life of mission, and his life of service. Change is not always easy. Sometimes we like the old days. Do you ever thought, man, if I could just go back? I don't know if you're familiar with the country singer, well, it's hard for me to ask you if I can't remember his name. Garth Brooks, okay? Garth Brooks has the song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. You ever heard that song? And he talks about he and his wife were at a reunion, and in walks his high school girlfriend, and he looked at her, and she looked at him, and he started singing about their life, old life together, and then he said, thank God for unanswered prayer, because he had anticipated that he would live his life with her, and he was so glad he was not. Do you ever have that? Where you think back and you think, oh, God, I'm so thankful that did not happen. But sometimes we like the old days. It's like I shared in the beginning of the book of Isaiah, though. God reminds us, this is his church, and he does not look back. He looks forward. And by the way, I should mention, a tendency that we all have when we have a change in a congregation is that we, because we're comfortable with our old pastor, and I don't mean old, Willard, I'm just talking about been here a long time, with our wiser pastor, no, that doesn't make sense, that's no matter what I say, it's not going to work, but so we're just going to say, we're comfortable with who we know, right? Pastor Willard's been here for 23 years, and so it's natural to think of him first when a pastoral need comes up. It's going to be a hard transition in your life to start thinking of someone new. And it can make things a little bit awkward for the new pastor. And so this is why I think you announced a couple weeks ago that you wouldn't be here for a little while. And it's a GCI policy that the old pastors do not attend for 6 months so that the new pastor can get fully established. And Willard and I have talked about that. And it doesn't have to be exactly that long. You don't have to count it off and tick, tick, tick. But it also gives Willard and Brenda time on a Sunday to go worship in a congregation or a church where they're not in charge, where all the responsibility when they enter the door doesn't hit them, and they just simply worship. And so it's a time of, I want to say, spiritual healing. Not that the congregation, you've made them sick, but but it provides rest, spiritual rest. And so honor them through that time, that if you don't see them for a few months, it's not because they've deserted you, it is because they need the time, and we've asked them to take the time because that is what is fair to the new pastor. And every time I have that conversation with a pastor, they feel like I'm rejecting them. And then when I explain it, they realize, oh, that makes sense to give the new pastor an opportunity to get us up. And Kenneth is going to call him, I know, because Kenneth's going to have questions, and he's allowed to. So it's not like Willard's going to keep a list and send me a list of people who've called him. But you get the idea. It's to help Willard and Brenda have some time on their own, and it's to help Kenneth and Lisa get established. And it's part of the plan. And we want to praise God for the plan. So here's what I'm going to do for the remainder of the sermon. I'm going to give some instructions to Kenneth, and you're all going to listen in on those instructions. Not so that you hold him accountable, though there is a little bit of that, but so that you realize what his calling here is. And then I'm going to follow up and give you some instructions as a congregation that Kenneth will listen to, and so that you will work together as a team. So let's begin with this. Kenneth, as you serve this as a pastor of this congregation, I'm going to charge you with these things. And first of all, I want you to know that I am going to give you high challenge, but I'm also going to give you high support. Okay? That is our motto for church administration. We want to give you high challenge, but we want to follow it up with high support. So I am always available. And so I'll make sure you have my correct phone number, which is It's not the one on the bulletin. That was my home phone number, and I still get that once in a while, but I don't get it as much. But I saw the announcement thing. I'll send whoever needs the announcement, I'll send the correct information to you. Okay, so as you serve this congregation, here's the first thing. Make your relationship with God your number one priority. Okay? That means to nurture yourself spiritually, relationally, and physically. Pray, study, perform your devotions with an open heart so that you give God opportunity to minister to you. Not just teach you, but to minister to you, because you need ministry. You need to be ministered to. Grow in your own relationship with God, and those whom you shepherd, they will see that, and they will want to follow that. Peter reminds us to continue to grow in grace and knowledge. But he says what? Of what? Of our Lord Jesus. It's not just a matter of growing in grace and knowledge. I can go and I can learn anything else. But he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the role of a pastor. When you do this, you will change. And people see that change, and they want to be a part of that change. And it gives you the ability to stand up here and ask them to change as well. Keep God the center of who you are. Spend time with him. Make time for him. Don't allow yourself to get so busy with the needs and the concerns of the congregation that you forget to spend time with God for you and for your family. And it's easy to do. Pastoral burnout begins when we place the congregation over everything else and we get burned out. And we cannot do that. Watch out for your physical health. That follows that. Take at least one day a week off with no phone calls. And work it out with the congregation, what day that is. And have other people, they can handle emergency calls. You know, and you can have somebody, if it's a real big emergency, that person that they can contact you. But you need a day off. And we need to give them a day off, and we'll talk about that in a moment. When you have a day off, take that day not as a day of study and prayer, but as a day of family, okay? Spend time with your family. And you can have more than one day off. I'm just saying at least one. Later we're going to talk and ask the brethren to do the same, but take your vacation time. And don't take your vacation time studying, you know, because that may be vacation to you, but it's probably not to the boys and your wife, right? So don't take your vacation time for a church project. Take your vacation time for your family. Because here's your number one priority, God and family, right? We used to say God was number one, family was number two, and ministry was number three. To separate God and family is erroneous. Because God is your papa, father. He's part of your family. He built your family. He's in your family. He's part of your family. So that is your number one priority. And then your church and job is your number two priority. Don't ever mix those up, okay? You do that, that alone will keep you with a sense of peace in your heart. Number two, preach the word and then preach the word. Do you know the difference? Yes, you do. Who's the word? Yeah, you notice that you got it when I said who. It was a cheating question, wasn't it? Jesus is the word of God. He is who we to preach. We forget this, and we forget that there was 2,000 years where people didn't have Bibles, and the word of God was preached, and the church grew because it was about Jesus. And the scripture says, in these you study to find life, and the life is not in the scriptures, it's in me. What do the scriptures do? They point to Jesus. That's what they're for. So you use the scripture to preach Jesus and always preach him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. In him, we live and move and have our being, not in the scriptures, but in Christ. But then preach the word, the small w. 2 Timothy tells us, he reminds us that Timothy was probably the first regional pastor. I just realized that the other day because he's known as the pastor of pastors, right? And that's my job, to pastor pastors. So I've got a good example. He told Timothy, preach the word, devote yourself to the meditation and the study of the scriptures. And he says, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is pointing to Jesus. All scripture is telling God's story of his love and his faithfulness. And that's a message everybody in this community needs to hear, right? So the scriptures have been written for our transformation. And you've been called to help this community of believers be transformed. it's your privilege, really, to teach the scriptures and specifically to draw people into their meanings and their prophecies and help them to see it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. God's plan and God's desire is for people to have relationship with him through with the Father, through the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. But don't get caught up in that, because don't ever forget the oneness of God. Right? Don't get caught up in trying to say things the right way, because there is no right way. You say things in a way people understand and that relates to them. The third thing is to remember that although you are the pastor, God has made all of us spiritually equal. You're no better and you're no worse than any who gather here seeking your guidance. But you have been called to a specific office that God has asked you to fill, and you have said, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me." So you have much to learn from them, and they have much to learn from you, and of course from each other. So nurture the lay ministry of this place. Realize that they will help you grow, but they cannot be dependent upon you for their spiritual nurturing. They need to depend on Jesus. Every person here must be dependent upon God alone. And then we can care for each other, right? But it's God first. When you're wholly dependent upon God, you can expect changes, and they will occur, and they will be fun. Not every one of them, perhaps. But you'll look back and you'll say, "Well, that was kind of fun, now that it's done." Fourth thing, find wisdom, encouragement, and renewal and fellowship with others, other clergy, other churches, other Christians, locally and nationally. And please don't fall into the trap that we had in the past where you couldn't become friends with members of your congregation. That was a miss. We have had some of the loneliest pastors. Al, you could probably speak to that. I mean, we told pastors you could not be friends with your congregants, and that was just, you know, Jesus says, "I came to be what? Your friend." And we said, "Well, that's good enough for him, but, you know, we're better than that." Oh, shameful. Fifth, remember that this is not your ministry, and it's not your church, and so you can relax and participate with the one who owns it, okay? You're a servant ready and willing and able to do what Christ called you to do, but he will lead you. If you haven't read it, read the book, Crucifixion of Ministry. Because what that book tells us is that every time we think we're taking Christ somewhere, we're wrong, because he's already there. And we're simply participating in what he's doing. Offer yourself humbly to the Lord, and change will be unavoidable, and it will be in complete participation with Christ, and you're going to see amazing things happen in Shepherd's Community Church and the Harvey community as you lead them in participation with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, congregation. You're sitting there thinking, "Yeah, get him." But no successful transformation or healthy ministry occurs by one person. It cannot happen. Kenneth Barker cannot transform Shepherd's Community Church into what God wants it to be in the future, right? He cannot go into Harvey and make changes in Harvey, but he can lead a congregation to do these things. It's never a one-person show. If church and pastor are to form a partnership, and that's what we're calling for, that is strong, that's enduring, then you must honor each other as Christ has honored you. And that means you work together. You don't expect the pastor to do things. You say, "Pastor, what can I do? How can I help you?" Because you realize that Christ is leading Shepherd's Community Church to do something in the community, not just Kenneth and Lisa Barker. Right? Amen? So, although we install Kenneth in the special office of pastor, and we don't ever want to negate the honor that is and the responsibility that is, and we've called him to be a shepherd leader, and we call him apart by his vows of faithfulness, his vows don't set him above you and don't give him a greater responsibility to do the work of Jesus Christ than you have as one of God's children. And as I said before, remember when I came out here in the very beginning and I was talking about your worship, that if you could take the zeal of that heart that you have in worship and you take it to this community, I'd be amazed to come back here in a year and realize we have to have two services. Because there is so much zeal in this house to worship the Lord. Can we take the zeal of worshiping the Lord outside the house? Oh, I get goosebumps just thinking about what can happen. So I'm going to charge you as God's beloved sons and daughters here at Shepherd's Community Church with these things. First, expect to change. As I said before, that's a Christian calling to change. The Spirit is leading us. The Spirit is guiding us. The Spirit does not stop because Willard retires. He used Willard to change you to where you are today, and now he's using Kenneth and team to change, to continue that change pattern so that you are more equipped to be a minister of Jesus Christ. Christ is still walking among you. He's working among you, and he's excited to see where we're going to go. Actually, he knows where it can go, but he's given you the opportunity to participate with him, right? Is there anyone else you want to participate with? Think about it. Oh. You have called Kenneth as your pastor to help discern God's purposes for you, for the congregation, and to embark on an incredible journey of transformation. And not just your personal transformation, but a community transformation. Sometimes, perhaps often, that means you might be asked to come outside your comfort zones. I would say more often than you think. It's not Kenneth asking you to come outside your comfort zone. It's the Holy Spirit asking you to come outside your comfort zone. Because, see, the Holy Spirit absolutely loves you and absolutely loves everyone in this community and wants to invite you to share that love with someone else. It's not that the Holy Spirit says, I want to make you uncomfortable by you going out and meeting somebody. He's saying, join me and let's show this person how much they're loved. That's phenomenal participation. That leads to a transformative community because of a transformative congregation. So expect change, and the change is going to be exciting. Second, remember that you are called together as the body of Christ for God's great purposes. Kenneth and Lisa are not a proxy for your work. Let's let Pastor Kenneth do it. Yeah, well, then nothing will get done because he doesn't have the time, the energy, or the ability to do all that needs to be done. But he does have the time, the energy, and the ability to lead you to do what needs to be done. God has called you to join them in ministry. Kenneth will not grow this congregation, but God can if you join in what is being offered. God didn't bring Kenneth here so he could have a fan club cheering him on. But he brought him here so that you all could be Jesus Christ fan club and celebrate as you go out and share his love and his life with others. God has called Kenneth to lead the workers in the vineyard, and that's you. Paul reminds us that there is one body and one spirit, and each of us is given Christian gifts. I can guarantee to you that Kenneth does not have all the gifts necessary for this church to grow. Is that a surprise to anybody? But I can guarantee you that this congregation has all the spiritual gifts that is needed for this congregation to grow. Amen?
Amen.
So the question is, are we willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me with Kenneth and Lisa, and let's get it done?
Amen.
Or is my, yeah. As my comedian friend says, get her done. All right, that's the last time I will quote him, because I don't know if there's anything else I can quote from him in this context. God has called Kenneth and Lisa to lead the saints and equip them for ministry, for works of service. And that's who GCI is today. It's works of service, working together and renewing communities, one community at a time. This world, well, let's just not say the world. This community, let's just say a 4 or 5 block community around this church needs Shepherd's Community Church. That's why God placed you here. You know, he didn't place you here to build a nice building. You got that done. Now let's go out and share it with the community. Let's bring them in the doors any way possible and let them know they're loved. Right? Yes. Amen to that? Amen. That's what we're called to do. And God has brought you a new pastor to lead you in this. So the third thing is, please, 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 honor, in spite of all, alongside all the things I said, that you're with him, this with him together, and that you know, and that there's going to be change, I ask you to honor his ministry. And let me explain that. While this is a partnership, there's also a setting that occurs, a setting apart that occurs when we lay hands on somebody and ask them to be your senior pastor. It can be one of the loneliest jobs in the world, because pastors hear more complaints than they hear praise, right? Pastors often hear all the things that are going on. They're going to hear the concerns people have. They're going to hear the sickness and things. And that, I'm not saying don't call them with these things, but compliment those phone calls with phone calls of encouragement, with cards of encouragement. Let them know that you trust them, but you're for them. And you know, this may surprise you. Kenneth is going to make mistakes. Oh, no. Send him home. Willard, Pastor Willard never made a mistake. We'll hear that. He's going to make mistakes. And he's going to be big enough to stand up and say, well, that didn't work. Because here's what happens. A lot of times we get an idea, and we run for the idea, and we realized after we were running for a while, I didn't do this right. I didn't go to talk to God first. And we all do this. I've done it. I've had my congregation said, you know, you're always trying something new. I said, well, God doesn't send me an email, so I have to try something. But I always try something with this prayer, Lord, if this is not where you want me to be, close the door. Amen. Right? Yeah. Sometimes he delays before that door closes. And that's okay. So sometimes you're going to say he's making a mistake, and sometimes you will be correct, and sometimes you will be incorrect, and you have to wait it out and see what God is doing. It's a partnership, but please realize that he needs your encouragement. So honor both Kenneth and Lisa. Pray for them, please. Pray for them often. Send them notes and texts, phone calls, except for their day off. And give them words of encouragement. Thank Kenneth for being your teacher, your pastor, and your friend. Honor him by knowing when to challenge him. It's okay to challenge your pastor. You know, God says we can challenge him. The thing about it, we know God's always right. So there's a little bit of a difference. But God's not intimidated by your challenges. Let me ask you a question. Honestly, have you ever been mad at God?
Yes.
Did he retaliate and kick you out?
No.
No, it's okay. God is God. He's a daddy. I know I'm getting on the old. I don't know. Let's go back to Kenneth. He's not God. Oh, yeah. Honor him by, if you have a question, challenge him. But see, there's a big difference between disagreeing and being disagreeable, right? We know how to disagree. I'm a little uncomfortable with that. I'm just setting that out there. Rather than, well, that is the dumbest idea I ever heard, and if you're going to continue it, I'm leaving. And a good pastor will simply say, I'll pray for you as the door hits you on the way out. Actually, sometimes we actually do that. I have actually prayed people out of my congregation. You know, I would say, Lord, help them change for a year or so. And finally, Lord, if they're not willing to change, please help them to be somewhere where they are more happy. And it's worked. And I had one pastor, elder, I did that. It took a while. I prayed him out of the congregation. And 2 years later, I went to his wife's funeral, and he came up to me, gave me a hug, and told me how sorry he was. 2 years later, he realized what he had been doing. So sometimes God knows what he's doing. I got to stop ad-libbing because I'm going to be going to, I still need to pray for them. Respect his time with his family. So when he determines what, he and Lisa determine what day that is, and they let you know, please respect that. Encourage him to take his vacation. Make sure he takes his vacation. We have too many pastors who have weeks and weeks of vacation because they don't take their vacation because they feel they can't leave their pastorate. That is sad. We need to let our pastors take their vacation. So do that. In fact, next year for pastor appreciation, help them out. You know, give them some gas money. Give them a You want some ideas? Cruise to Alaska? Yeah, yeah. They'll probably buy you a little boat and say, yeah. So respect him. Be with him. Encourage him to take his family seriously, and also encourage him to watch his health. If you see Kenneth getting my size, talk to him. Today really is a wonderful new beginning for all of you. It really is. And I hope you're excited about it. I know there's this little bit of an angst because you feel like if I'm excited about the future, it makes Willard feel bad. It doesn't make Willard feel bad. Trust me. He's shaking his head. He's anxious to get out of here. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't make him feel bad. Willard has served you for 23 years, and he's just as excited about having somebody that he trusts to be in place. And that was very important to Willard, that it have somebody that he felt good about. We couldn't find anybody, so we hired Kenneth. That came out wrong. Cut that out of the tape. Today's an exciting day. You're going to have wonderful years of change as your years together unfold, as we see this congregation expand to two congregations. I mean, I say that because I don't know how else you're going to fit more people in here. You got the balcony yet. God has incredible purpose for you, and if you participate with him and with Kenneth and with Lisa and with the pastoral team, you're going to see amazing things happen in Shepherd's Community Church. It's going to happen because the Spirit is here. He's calling and he's beckoning you to join him and doing an amazing work here in Harvey. Are you with him?
Yes.
That didn't sound right. Are you with him?
Yes.
All right, let's call Kenneth and Lisa forward. I'd like to have Willard come forward. Any of the elders, board members, if you want to come forward. Al, feel free to come forward. Am I missing anybody besides the board members and the elders? And just get on either side of him. First of all, I'm going to ask him to make a commitment to you as a congregation. Kenneth, it has become apparent to the elders here in Shepherd's Community Church. It has become apparent to those of us in church administration and to our president that God has called you to be the pastor of this congregation. So we ask you, do you agree to faithfully and humbly serve the people of Shepherd's Community Church in the office of pastor with Christ's help, in the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Spirit, in accordance with me as your regional pastor and the denominational church administration director, to uphold the responsibilities and duties of office of senior pastor?
I agree.
Congregation, will you, Shepherd's Community Church, faithfully support your pastor? Will you pray for him and his wife Lisa and their children? Will you uphold Kenneth in the name of Jesus Christ in his office of pastor? And will you do that?
Yes.
So in Christ's name and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are hereby going to install you as pastor, and we're going to pray for you. And I'm cheating. I'm reading my prayer because otherwise I ad-lib too much. Everybody close? God of grace, God of glory, you who pours power on your people, we gather not so much to do a deed, but to celebrate a deed already done. If you had not already laid hands upon Kenneth, no hands of ours could set him apart. If long ago this congregation was not gathered at your call and summons, we by ourselves could consecrate nothing. And so we give thanks for your workings in our past, our present, and with faith we look to you to guide our future. So this day we dedicate to you and to your service among your people, Kenneth Barker and his wife Lisa, who is not called to be the pastor. She is called to continue to support and love her husband and to serve the congregation whatever way you deem with her. We ask that you bless him with insight, with compassion, with wisdom and love as he ministers to the lost, the lonely, the young, the seeking, the dying, the bereaved, the hungry, and the joyful, all in the name of our Lord Jesus. We pray that you deepen and enrich Kenneth's spiritual life until all words and deeds convey a loving spirit, that it is you flowing through him with a grace of understanding and a quiet, firm, resolute witness to you as the way, the truth, and the light. By your Holy Spirit, I pray that you unite them, husband and wife, serving together with their children. Unite them with the leaders of this congregation and unite them with every single member of this room, but mostly with yourself in an incredible, strong, and holy partnership that is encouraging, that is honoring, and that is loving, that they may be witnesses to your glory, to your hope, and your mercy. In the name of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Kenneth Barker, you are now installed to do the work of the ministry of Shepherd's Community Church. May the Lord bless you and keep you consecrated to him always.